Christian Medical and Dental Associations hope you enjoy today's chapel message.
Three years ago today, when I graduated college, I went on a solo trip to Germany because I minored in German in college, and it had always been kind of a life goal of mine to visit that country and see the Christmas markets and things like that. And while I was there, I was based in Munich, staying in a hotel there and kind of riding the rails around to different cities and towns. And the picture you see right here, this is Treberg in the Black Forest. It's a town that actually houses the tallest waterfall in Germany, which, you know, compared to Tennessee standards, it's not that tall. I was kind of let down a little bit, to be honest. They also have one of the biggest cuckoo clocks in Germany as well. And so as I was visiting this town, I knew that I had to get back on the train to get back to Munich at 5 o'clock, but I want to do all the touristy things, right? So I'm walking around, I see the waterfall, I see the cuckoo clocks, and by the time I'm done doing that and doing some shopping and things, I look down at my phone and it's 4:15 already. And I'm like, you know, I don't really want to go back yet. There's one more train that I can catch. It leaves at 7. And so that's what I decide to do. And so I shop a little bit more and to see a few more things. And as I'm walking back to the train that night, it looks a little bit eerie outside. So I start getting a little bit uncomfortable because, you know, I'm there alone and there's nobody out on the streets at this time. And so, you know, I'm starting to get a little bit nervous, but I get to the train and I get on board and, you know, everything's going smoothly. I'm headed back to Munich at this point. And then the train stops. And a train attendant comes up to me and he says, you know, we have a slight delay. If you want to get off the train and stretch your legs, we're at this little station here in Villingen. And you can look around and then hopefully we'll be on our way again shortly. And so I get off the train and I'm, you know, walking around, I'm looking at things, and I kid you not, 3 minutes maybe after I stepped off the train leaves without me. And so here I am in this train station in the middle of nowhere, the Black Forest, Germany, that I've never been to before. And it's dark, it's cold. And I get on my phone and I'm like, well, maybe there's another train coming, but no, that was the last train of the night. There's not another one. And so, you know, I start looking. Maybe there's a hotel. No, the town's so small, there's no hotel, of course. Maybe I can Uber all the way to Munich. At this point, I'll pay it. Even if it's a ton of money, I'll do it. No Uber, of course. And so at this point, I'm really starting to freak out. You know, I call my parents. I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm here at this train station. At this point, I'm just like all hopelessness. At this point, I'm ready to have to sleep at the train station for 10 hours. And then, off in the distance, lo and behold, I see a train light. And I don't know where it's going. The train was not supposed to be there, but I get on the train anyway. And I mean, what do you do? So I get on this train, and instead of taking me east towards Munich, it takes me west towards the border of France in a town called Karlsruhe. And, you know, that's okay. I look on my phone. There's actually a train that connects from Karlsruhe back to Munich. I can get there. It'll be 9 o'clock the next morning, but at least, you know, I can sleep on the train a little bit and you know, it'll work out. So I have an hour at this train station in Karlsruhe. And, you know, I waste that hour, and then I go to get on the train. No train. So I go back to the schedule, and I'm looking at it, and my heart sinks when I realize that the train actually left an hour ago, and my phone was not on military time, and I goofed up the hour. So here we go. I'm panicking again. And all that I can think to do is I know that the train connects to another town over, and it's supposed to be there in like 30 minutes is the next pickup point. So I walk outside to see if I can find an Uber or some way to get there. And I find a taxi, right? So I get in the taxi with this guy. He doesn't speak English. I speak a little bit of German. We're having some broken communication. And I tell him that I need to go to Mannheim, the next town over, to connect on this train. And I tell him it's urgent. You know, we got to get there. I'm going to be stranded. And so here we go. We're going flying down the Autobahn. I don't know how fast we were going. I don't know kilometers, but we were zooming. And so I'm sitting back there holding on to the sides, you know, like, I don't know that I'm going to make it or not. But, you know, we got there, and funny enough, the train was actually late, so we didn't have to rush. I got there and, you know, got on the train 30 minutes later after I got there. But, you know, so it all worked out pretty good. I ended up getting back to Munich at 10 o'clock the next morning. Spent the whole day asleep, kind of wasted the whole day of the trip, but, you know, I was worn out at that time. And if you see that bottom line there, it was supposed to just go back and then right back where I was going, to Treburg and back to Munich. I ended up doing that huge loop, and if you look down below, that's Switzerland. So that's, you know, you can kind of compare how big of this trip this was. And, you know, but the Lord did take care of me because he sent that train. There was not supposed to be another train, and he sent it. And even though it may have not been, you know, the way that I was thinking I was going to travel home or to the hotel, God got me there. And so the next story I want to share with you guys, it's a little bit more personal, it's more recent. It was when Franklin was born. And as most of you all know, when he was born, he struggled with some green vomiting that was kind of smelly, and the nurses told us, they said, if that happens again, then, you know, we need to go check him out, and it could be serious. He could have a bowel blockage. And so, you know, we're kind of nervous at this point, and then lo and behold, he throws up again. And so we have to tell the nurse, and the nurse takes him back. They start running some tests, and they say that they come back into the room, and they say that the test that they need to do actually can only be done in the NICU, so they have to take him to the NICU to do this test. And, you know, we're, you know, distraught by that news, but they say we can go back and see Franklin and hold him for a little bit before they transfer him over. And so, you know, my beautiful, strong wife here is holding him. She's holding it together really well. What you don't see from this picture is me behind the camera blubbering like a giant baby. I mean, kid you not, tears dropping into the floor. They probably thought I was crazy. But then we have to go back to the room because the transfers show up. And they say they'll bring him one more time so we can see him before he leaves. And so me and Mary and my parents and her mom are all in the room waiting to see him before they transfer him over. And they bring him in this. And I don't know if any of you all have ever had your child transferred to the NICU from a hospital, but it is a somewhat traumatic experience. They brought him in. He had a tube shoved down his throat. He was kind of choking and gagging, scream crying. It was awful. We were all really, really upset, crying in the room. And this is kind of one of those moments where it just feels like the rug is pulled out from underneath you. You know, everything's going fine, and then just, you know, something happens, and it's just, you know, it can be detrimental. And so I'm thinking, what can I do? How can I help Franklin? How can I help Mary? What do I do as a father in this moment? And then I heard this whisper from God. He said, he brought me this verse, and it's one that, you know, has been with me several times throughout my life. But he says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. And from that moment on, I knew that Franklin was going to be okay. And so that really, really helped me and strengthened me to get through this process. So we get to the NICU a couple hours later, and here's Franklin. He's laying in the bed. It's a really tough time. We have to stay overnight with him, but all the tests came back clear. There was no issues. And despite he had this green throw up, I know that God healed him and he ended up being okay. So we got through that night, and ever since then, he went from this to being a happy little baby boy and no issues at all, really, except for some allergies and things. But the reason that I wanted to bring up these two stories with you all today is because I wanted to talk a little bit about the saving love of God, right? And I know that this is, you know, we all know it. We're Christians. We all know about the saving love of God. But I think that's something that we can take more time to focus on and really just embrace what God has done for us. And so we know that because of the fall, because of Adam and Eve's first sin, we live in a fallen world. And we desperately need the love of God, right? And we know that like from these stories, God gave me physical rescue, but we know that that's temporary, right? We may be saved from things in this life, but ultimately, spiritual rescue is what's important, and that's what's eternal, right? We know that we may be saved from things in this life, but ultimately, God has done what no human could do. He came down to this earth, and he lived a sinless life that we could not. And he went to the cross and rose again 3 days later to save us, right? To give us eternal life. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about some characteristics of God's saving love. And the first one is that the Lord draws near to those who trust in him. He will never leave or abandon them. And I've got it pulled up on my phone, this verse, because there's no way I can read that back there. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail nor abandon you." And also we know in Nahum 1:7, the Bible says, "The Lord is good, a strong refuge when trouble comes. He is close to those who trust in him." So how amazing is it that we know that when we're in times of trouble, the Lord is close to us, right? I know that when I was at the train station and when I was in the hospital, the Lord was with me. He spoke to me and I felt his presence there. And then we also know a characteristic of God's saving love is that, the Lord chases after the lost, right? And we see this in probably one of the most famous parables in the Bible when Jesus talks about the lost sheep, right? I'm going to go over here and walk and read it because I can't read that and I can't see it on my phone. So it says in Luke 15:4-7, "If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep.' In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away." And I don't know about you all, but I'm very, very thankful that in my times when I was lost and I didn't know Jesus, and you know, I was lost and undone without him, he came and rescued me, right? So what a blessing it is that we have a Lord and Creator that cares enough about us to save us from those instances. And then also another characteristic of God's saving love is that he washes away the sins of his followers and gives them new life. So he finds the lost, right? He chases after you. Then he brings you into his family. He washes you and makes you clean, right? And he says, you know, you don't have to live that way anymore. You are my son or daughter. You're in my family. You're in my kingdom. Let's do life together, right? And so we see that in when... In 1 John, I'm going to read it from here again. "God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him." This is real love. This is saving love. This is rescuing love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Right? So when we were that lost sheep, he came after us and he gave us saving love. He rescued us and made us new. And then kind of the whole reason that I wanted to talk about this today is this final point that I'd like to share. We know that the Lord sends his followers to share his message with the world. So he makes us new, right? He brings us into his kingdom. He makes us his followers. He saves us. And then he calls us to go and share the gospel with the world, right? And that's part of his saving love, because those that are lost can experience a follower of Christ that comes to them and shares Jesus with them, right? And so we know this from Matthew 28:19-20. This is a great commission. This is when Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Right? So we are called to go and make disciples. We're called to go and share God's saving love with the world. Right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, thank you for this time where we get to come together and just focus on the saving love that you give us. Thank you, Lord, that... we have the opportunity to go and to share the love that you have poured out on us with others. I pray that you'll strengthen us and guide us and lead us to be disciples that make other disciples, Father. Lord, we thank you for another day, Lord, and we praise your holy name today. Amen.